All right, so I'm going into my Kindle, and it's all a little slow, okay, and I need to switch. I've been reading Siddhartha, which is a lot of fun. Jasmine actually picked it out for me.
Oh, okay.
She didn't know what it was either, so it's kind of funny that she picked it out for me. Okay, so we are in NTI Romans chapter 14, and I believe we're going to be starting with verses 9 to 11. We'll start with verses 5 to 8, because I don't remember where we are. Do you remember?
What page are you on?
I have page 281. Oh. What do you have? The paperback book.
Somehow I turned it.
281? Okay, so 281 verses 5 to 8. So we're in the middle of NTI Romans chapter 14. And Sandy, I don't know what you know about NTI. Do you know anything about it? Okay, so you do know a little bit. Okay, good, good, good. Okay, so I'll just start reading at verses 5 to 8. Also remember that nothing is as it seems. So this would be in addition to last week we were focusing on the it is what it is. And so this is saying in addition to realizing that it is what it is, realize that it's not what it seems to be. So it's kind of like adding to that. Also remember that nothing is as it seems. It is within the mind of you, thought up by you, for the purpose of having an experience. In that way, oh no, this is what we read before. In that way, the only judgment that can be applied is that it is what it is. The experience is the experience it was made to be. It is the perfect reflection of a wish. It is everything you asked to see. So this is a review. But this is, of course, saying that, you know, again, the tiny mad idea was the question, what if everything was different than it is? And really, the entire experience of the world is the answer to that question. This is what everything would be like, or this is what everything is like if it's different than truth. In this way, you may be grateful for everything you have made. You asked a question, and you have discovered the answer. In itself, the answer to the question is perfect. So we've read this next paragraph as well, but let me go ahead and read it as a review. Rejoice when you look on the world, for it is the answer to the question you asked. And now you have your answer. You need not ask the question anymore. You need no longer be puzzled. You need not judge and apply meaning to the meaningless. You may put your curiosity to rest. You do not want love different than it is, for as it is love, and love is all you truly want. And now you see. So that's where we ended last time. So again, the clarity that was given was, you know, when you look at the world and you see all of these atrocities, and, you know, lately it seems like there have been, I guess it happens all of the time. I mean, you know, there was Hurricane Sandy. you know, I can't even remember what came after Hurricane Sandy, but then we had the shooting at the schools in January, the Sandy Hook. My goodness, Sandy. let's see, then after that, what came next? Is
the
anybody?
Boston Marathon.
The Boston Marathon, and then the tornadoes in Oklahoma. And then, you know, I mean, there's just so much stuff going on. And what this is saying is, you know, how do I look at that stuff? How do I understand that? Well, the way you look at it is you realize that this is the answer to our question, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? If everything was different than reality, or if everything was different than heaven, or if everything was different than love. And it's telling us, look, don't be afraid to look. Look, this is the answer to your question. And if you're really honest while you look, what you realize is, I don't really want this anymore. You know, this, I don't want this, I want love, right? So it's all meant to help us awaken. So now we'll begin with the new, which is verses 13 to 18. Now you may let go of your attachment to illusion. You may let go of expression of self-will. You may surrender any hidden wish to see differently. The answer that you asked for has been given. Be grateful for the answer. Surrender to it for what it is. It is not what you want. It is only what you wanted to see. And now that you've seen it, its purpose is done. This kind of reminds me a lot of Michael Langford in his book, The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. He has a whole chapter in that book on increasing your desire for liberation, he calls it, your desire to awaken. And one of the things that he recommends in order to increase your desire to awaken is to look very directly at the horrors in the world. Look very, very directly. He says the ego actually doesn't want you to look. The ego wants you to look at the happier things and kind of disregard the suffering that's happening in the world. It doesn't want you to look at it very directly, because if you look at it very directly, you're going to become tired of the world faster. But Michael Langford says that that's a perfect way to increase your desire for liberation, is look at all of the horror in the world. So that's one of his recommendations. And that's really kind of what this is saying too. It's saying, don't be afraid to look. Don't be afraid to be honest about what you see. And realize that you don't want this. You know you don't. So just look at it and realize, I'm tired of this dream. What I want now is to awaken to pure love.
And that's pretty much, Trungpa Rinpoche said that basically the same thing. Just immerse yourself in it and just, wallow in it, feel it, experience it. Because if you don't experience it, you're going to still think there's something there you want.
Right.
And you'll just keep coming back. It's like when you go to see a movie, and it may be a horrible movie and you may be terrified throughout the whole movie, but then you want to see it again because you want to see that part that this happened in, or whatever. You want to immerse yourself in the horror of it so that, you get the experience. And once you get the experience, then you don't need to have the experience again, because you recognize that's
right.
Not really what I want.
Right.
Unless you're really sick and you keep doing it.
Okay, so let's see. Verses 19 to 21. Now that your attachment is released and your question has been answered, you can let go of the illusion you do not need. That is what you are doing now. You are letting go of what you no longer have purpose for. Letting go of illusion is a glorious occasion. Celebrate that your lesson has been learned. As illusion presents itself within the mind that you are, smile at it, remembering the purpose that it had, and let it pass by realizing it has no purpose for you now. It has served its purpose for you. You do not want what you thought you might want. You want all God has given you instead. When the illusion seems real within the mind that you are, do not fear your experience. Remember that its reality, in quotes, is a statement of your truth, and rejoice that you are reclaiming your truth again. What this means is the fact that the world seems so real. People are always, if it's not real, how come it seems so real? What he's saying is the reason it seems so real is because of how divine you are. So when you notice how real the world is, instead of getting caught up in how real the world is, notice that the world seems this real because of my divinity, or our divinity, because it's a shared divinity, and focus back on the divinity that is able to make this appearance, right?
And you can say, what an amazing creator I am.
What an amazing creator I am. Yeah, exactly. So when the illusion seems real within the mind that you are, do not fear your experience. Remember that its reality is a statement of your truth, and rejoice that you are reclaiming your truth again. In knowing yourself, you know love without division, for the wholeness of love is the wholeness and fullness of you. So that's the end of NTI Romans chapter 14. And again, just focusing us on the fact that we are learning our lesson. We are learning that we don't want this world. Right? And so So I guess we'll move on to chapter 15, shall we? Now that you see, I ask for your help. You can be used by me for the healing of the mind if you are willing. In order to be most helpful, you must be willing to lay yourself aside. For you can only be helpful to me when you are under my direction, and I can only direct you when you are willing to surrender to me. Everything is up to you. You are the free Son of God. So what this kind of reminds me of, if we think of Holy Spirit as like the wind, right, and we think of ourselves as like a leaf or a tumbleweed or anything else, the wind can blow us wherever it wants us to go as long as we aren't attached to anything. But as soon as, maybe a tumbleweed is a better symbol, as soon as that tumbleweed becomes attached to something, then the wind can't blow it anymore. So what Holy Spirit is saying here is, in order for you to be truly, truly helpful, you need to be completely free of all attachments. That's what he means by lay yourself aside. If you believe, for example, that you need to live in Pueblo, like no matter what, I'll do anything, but I won't leave Pueblo, right? Well, then you're like the tumbleweed hooked to a bush. You know, you're no longer free to be blown wherever you're going to be blown. I'll do anything, but I have to be married to this person. No matter what, I'm not leaving this person. Then you're no longer the tumbleweed. So what Spirit is asking us to do is to lay ourself aside, which is to lay our attachments aside and to be absolutely willing to be blown in any direction that Spirit would blow us. And that way we can be most helpful. Right? But of course it's up to us. You know, we're the free Son of God, so nothing will be coerced on us. If we want to be attached, we can be attached. It is our decision. In fact, that's the next sentence. Nothing can be coerced upon you, right? Nor is it my will to ask anything of you that you do not want to give. But if you are willing to give yourself to me for my use, I will make you useful to the healing of the mind. Now, sometimes people feel guilty for having an attachment. And Spirit is not saying that you're bad or guilty if you have an attachment. You just aren't as free to be used, right? But what Spirit is saying is you are free to have attachments if you want to. If that's what you choose, that's fine. Spirit's not judging you for that. Spirit is just saying, however, if you're willing to have no attachments, I can use you. It's up to you. It's kind of like an offer that's being made. But the decision is completely up to you. Verses 5 and 6. Through your surrender, we are made one, even within the illusion of division. Through your surrender, our heart is combined, and you shall know me through yourself. Now that's really interesting, because what Spirit is telling us is that if we're willing to have no attachments and we're willing to be blown by the wind, right, in any direction, what we're going to find is our true heart is that wind. We thought maybe we wanted to live in Pueblo and never leave Pueblo no matter what. But if we're willing to let go of that and be blown with the wind, we're going to find out that what the wind blows us to do actually brings us more joy than what we thought we wanted. So it's almost like you have two hearts. You have a true heart that's deeper, and then you have a false heart that's more shallow. And your false heart is made up by what your mind thinks you want. Your true heart is what you really want. And all of our attachments come from that false heart or that false desire, right? What we think we want. And people chase after what they think they want all of the time, you know. And usually once you get it, it may be good for a while, but then you think you want something else. I have one friend who told a story once about how she thought all she wanted was to get married. When she got married, then she thought, All she wanted was to get divorced. And then when she got divorced, all she wanted was to get married, you know. So that's the way the mind's desires are. The mind's desires aren't real. If they were real, then once we got what we wanted, we'd be done wanting, right? So that's the false heart or the false desires. They're not real. Spirit knows our true desires. But if we're still believing our false desires and we're clinging to them, we don't discover our own true desire, because we're not letting ourselves be blown around by the wind. So by letting go of everything you think you want and allowing spirit just to blow you around, what ends up happening is you end up discovering yourself better. You know yourself better. You know what you wanted better than you did by yourself. Yeah. Verses 7 to 13. You do not see yourself as me yet, which means that you see with the eyes of illusion. But with understanding and willingness and your complete surrender, you shall see me as you. We shall be known as one in your awareness. And where we are joined, all are joined in love. So you shall know oneness, and you shall be divorced from the image of division forever. So again, as you let spirit blow you, you find out that that's you blowing you. You find out that's who you really are. And we're talking about here now a shift in identification is really what we're talking about. You know, at first you think you are the false self. You think you are the person who wants to live in Pueblo and wants to work this job or doesn't want to work this job or whoever you think you are. But if you are willing to let go of your attachments and surrender to spirit and be moved by spirit, eventually you no longer see yourself as moved by spirit anymore, because the idea of a you and a spirit disappears in one will. And then there's who you are, but who you are now is different than who you used to be. You know, one thing I love about Muji is an example that he gave the example of the word I. He says the devil uses the word I, and God uses the word I. Where are you on that continuum? And of course, he's using the symbol of the devil. He's just, you know, he doesn't believe in a devil, but you know, this, the false self says, I want. But the awakened self also says, I. So what does your I mean, is what he's really asking. And that's what happens when we surrender, is our I, who I am, what I mean by the word I, begins to shift. So we're still using the same word, I. You know, there's not a new word. But what that I means is different, right?
Can you explain again, please?
Say that?
Can you explain again?
Explain again? Sure. So, so in the very beginning of this spiritual path for me, I could have told you a lot of things about me. I could have told you, you know, I like this, I don't like this, I want this, I think this is good, you know, and I had all of these ideas, and I believed all of those ideas were me and mine. Now, just where I am now, what I find is that when people start asking me personal questions, you know, I actually feel dishonest in answering them, because I no longer feel like that person. So it gets much more difficult when people start asking me personal questions, because I don't identify with that person like I used to. And sometimes I feel like as soon as I answer a question, even if I believed it while the words were coming out of my mouth, as soon as it's out, I feel like that was a lie. Not in an intentional way, but like I just spoke about something that is not what I am, as if it was me. So who you think you are just begins to change. And you can't say any longer, you know, I'm the person who believes that we should have no guns in America, or I'm the person who believes that we should have guns in America, either one. Because you know what? You aren't that person anymore. You don't perceive yourself as that anymore. So your identification just literally changes. And somebody once told me that Jesus said, although I have no idea where Jesus said this, because I haven't seen it in the Course or in the Bible, so it must be some other channeling somewhere. But somebody told me that Jesus once said, if I speak about myself, I tell a lie. And that's how you start to feel. If I speak about myself, meaning the person, I tell a lie, because that's not who I am. And that becomes an honest feeling. I'm not that anymore. Where at one time you totally thought you were that. Right? Does that explain? So who you think you are begins to change. It begins to shift. So let's see, 14 to 22. Laying down your will is important to your service to me, for your illusory will is not my will. Your illusory will is your desire to have things different. Your illusory will is your desire to have things your way. But if you look at the world and remember that it is the expression of your illusory will, you will again remember to return to your true will, which is the same as mine. So as an example, just a moment ago I used the example of guns, because you know that's such a popular debate in America now. And it's kind of funny when you go to Walmart, because on one side of the parking lot they have the people who want to, is it a congresswoman that they want to recall? Is that who it is? Because I guess she's in favor of gun control. Yeah. So on the one side of the street, you have the people who want to recall her and they want to save their guns. And right on the other side of the street, you have the people who say, you know, she's protecting our families, and you drive right between them, you know. So it's kind of funny. You know, it's such a popular debate right now. But you know, these types of debates, as you can imagine, can get heated up to the point where people can shoot each other. Right? Okay? So what's, you know, one day there may be someone shot across the Walmart parking lot over this, all right? So what Spirit is saying, again, is look at that. Don't be afraid to look at that. You know, abortion is another one. The people who want to save the baby's lives so bad that they kill the abortion doctor, right? Because he's killing babies, right? Spirit is saying, look at this, and don't look at this as if that's them. Look at this and realize this is what self-will does. This is what opinions do. This is how they escalate. And ask yourself, do I still want to have opinions? Where most of us get confused is that we start seeing some opinions as righteous. You know, the environment is a great example, you know, because it's very spiritual to want recycling and, you know, all the other stuff that goes along with the environment. But if you get really into wanting that, you know what ends up happening? You end up hating the people who are littering, right? And eventually, someday, somebody's going to kill somebody again. And Spirit's saying, be honest about this. Don't get caught up in the vegetarianism is another great example. Yeah, the people who, you know, want to save the animals, don't eat meat. And then you watch them, especially on Facebook, the vicious language they use towards the humans who do eat meat. They don't understand the hate that is coming out, right? Spirit is saying, look at this. This is what self-will does. Self-will causes every conflict that has ever occurred. It came from opinions. It came from thinking you were right and others were wrong, right?
And justifying your judgment.
And justify, you know, look at all the wars that have been fought over religion, right? You know, just, you know, thinking that I am right and really believing you're right, really believing your opinions, really believing your self-will, believing you're righteous, right? That's the cause of every conflict that's ever happened, every murder that's ever happened, every war that's ever happened. And Spirit's saying, don't lie to yourself about this. And then when the topic comes up, and if you're a normal human, when the topic comes up, there is an opinion that rises. You know, probably everybody here knows if you had to stand on one side of the line or the other, which side of the line you're on when it comes to gun control. Probably, you know, we're pretty clear on that. Spirit's saying, watch that. There isn't a right side of the line. Watch that. Are you sure you still want this? You know, be careful about that. Yeah.
That is respect the other people's life, the opinion of the other people.
Yes, let's say that again.
That you say that we respect the opinion of the other people.
Well, I think when it comes to the opinion of the other people, it's more like it's back to the it is what it is.
Yeah, because I see it a big way. For example, the people that is that they want to the guns, and the other people that they don't want.
They don't want the guns.
Maybe I am of this side, but respect both.
Ah. Well, Spirit is really recommending that we be on neither side. That's what's hard about this. This is what we're talking about in letting go of self-will. Because, you know, we want to still be on our side, but like you said, like respect the others. What Spirit is saying is this is the cause of every problem in the world. You can't pick a side. Spirit has no side. You know, if Spirit could show up in a body and speak, Spirit would not stand on either side of that line. Pure awareness has no side. And so when we're being asked to let go of our will, this is what we're being asked to let go of, you know. And if you start paying attention, you'll be amazed at the number of opinions you have. Amazed. And you know, most of us don't let go of our opinions like that. But if you have the awareness, the true awareness that's being explained here, that opinions are the cause of every conflict that's ever occurred in this world, and if you truly want to wake up from conflict, then you'll start dropping your opinions because they are the cause of conflict. Usually we want our opinion because we think, if everybody thought my way, the world would be perfect. If everybody was an environmentalist like me, perfect world. If everybody didn't have guns like me, perfect world. If everybody didn't eat meat like me, perfect world. But you know what? Everybody is never going to be like you. And as long as you hold on to, if everybody was like me, perfect world, you're another one of the people in the conflict, in one way or another. So what we have to let go of is that me. Is that me.
And those opinions are all judgment and attack. It doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if I think, I want women to have freedom of their bodies, and if they want to have an abortion, that's their... You know, good for them. You know, I'm happy that they are doing what they want to do. On the other hand, I don't want to kill babies. I don't want to ever see anybody killing babies. I don't care how, you know, every single one of those, I'm making a judgment and an attack on one person or another by saying that one person is right and the other person is wrong.
Yes.
And it comes down to a fine line. I mean, you can sort and sort and sort and sort, and you're going to find that there is not a single person in the entire planet universe who thinks the same way that you do, has the same opinions that you do. So every time I'm thinking about my own opinion and thinking about, you know, how, you know, you and I are the same because we're both on the same side of this particular thought system, but, you know, oh, you're a vegan.
Yeah, somewhere else you don't agree.
And I'll drink milk and eat eggs, so, you know, I'm your enemy now. You know, it doesn't matter. Every single thing you have an attachment to is a wedge that comes between you and your brother.
Well, in fact, Lynn, what you're saying now, that's my phone. You want to go check it? What you're saying now is a part of what helped to wake me up to letting go of opinions. It hit me that nobody else on the planet Earth has the exact set of opinions that I do. And it hit me that if I'm the only one out of 6.5 billion people that thinks like this, what makes me think I'm right? You know what I mean? Right? I mean, it just kind of hit me, like, how arrogant is that to think I'm right when I'm the only one in the entire world, probably the entire universe, whatever that is, that thinks exactly like me. And I literally set out in a practice of letting go of opinions. And you know, I don't think that's been perfected yet, but the amount of progress that's been made is amazing. You know, I can have no opinion about a lot of things that other people just don't seem to be able to have no opinion about. But that came about through practice. That came about through, and the practice was by understanding this. You know, it's almost like I had to have a reason to practice it. As long as I thought no guns was what's going to save the world, then I'm going to be for no guns. When I realize no opinions is what saves the world, you know, then I want no opinion. So you have to, because what I really wanted all along was saving the world. That's what I really wanted, right? Peace for everyone, love for everyone. And I didn't realize that I was a part of the war. When I came to see that I was a part of the war, I realized my true desire was, you know, peace for everyone, love for everyone, no more conflict, and I realized that's no opinions. Then I began to look at and give up my opinions. That's giving up self-will.
Then when you see the world with love, it's not. Is see it with judgment?
Yes, yes. And in fact, you know, that's not something, at least in my experience, that you can make happen. My experience is, as you begin to realize what your own egoic mistakes are, like having opinions, and you begin to really realize it, like at a true level, and so out of desire to be free of those opinions, you start letting them go. What happens then is you start to miraculously notice that you love and accept people in circumstances that before you would have hated or judged. And you don't make yourself love them. It just is, because it's natural. And the only thing that got in the way of that natural love and acceptance was your self-will. So as you let go of your self-will, the natural love begins to arise. So then, you know, you have the same feelings about the people on both sides of the Walmart parking lot. You know, you don't judge either. You just love them, and you know, you go through without agreeing with either. You also don't judge either, and you just, you know, wave at both when they're waving at you, you know, and you just go on to Walmart and you buy your groceries. I mean, you know, because that's what you came there for, you know. It's that simple, right? But that's actually our natural state. And in the beginning, it's kind of hard to believe that's our natural state. But as you let go of self-will, your natural state rises up. And you know what's amazing about your natural state is that it feels natural. That's what's amazing about it. It feels natural. You start to understand why people call it your natural state. It's easier. The judging that we were so attached to caused, that was hard. When we're addicted to it, we don't realize how hard it is. But as it starts to die away, you realize how hard that was. And, you know, I actually haven't heard Jasmine or Danielle say this in a while, but used to, they were always saying to me around the house, they'd do something, are you mad at me? You know, are you mad at me? And my answer was always, I don't have the energy to get mad. And that's a true statement. Like, you know, I don't even want to think in any way that would make me mad. Like, I just don't, because it's so much easier to just be. That's much easier than getting mad. And you start to relax into your naturalness rather than struggling to be the way you were.
You know, what I've started noticing for myself is that it's painful to have something between us.
Yeah.
It's painful to me to have something between me and another person. And the pain has always been there. And I just
didn't see
never
it.
Knew what it was and always thought it was their fault. You know? but you know, when I started seeing that, the thing that was coming between us was my judgment of the other person or my judgment of the situation, when I started seeing that and recognize it, let go of that, and the pain goes away.
Yeah.
And you do go back into that natural place where you're just, it's just love. And
yeah.
You don't have any thought of you know, anything. There's no right, there's no wrong.
Yeah, and it's very easy to be there. Go ahead.
You're doing everybody a great big favor when you drive down the middle of it and you wave at both sides. That's by far the best for everybody. And what my experience was that it's like, yeah, there's no right or wrong, and there's a really a deep sense of love is present.
Yeah.
What's absent is the notion that there's that there's a true barrier, a solid, rigid barrier between the two opposites. And as I'm driving down the middle, I'm just feeling like I'm connected with the easier, deep sense of the presence of love.
Yeah, and what also has really come about for me, at least the way that I see now, I can't speak about how I'll see in another time, but there's a sense that people are playing a game. I mean, that's the feeling. They're just playing a game. And these guys are playing the game of wanting guns and being angry because somebody doesn't want guns. And these guys are playing the game of feeling that we're better off without guns and feeling threatened by guns. But everybody's playing a game. And that, again, that's a natural feeling. When you see it as everybody's playing a game, I mean, imagine if they were just children on both sides of that playing the game of I want guns, I don't want guns. You wouldn't think anything of it. You'd wave at the kids and go on and buy groceries, right? It's really the same kind of thing. The seriousness that's there before just kind of dies, and everybody's just playing a game, and you don't want to get in the way of their playing the game. You want to let them play their game, and it doesn't affect you. And it's easy.
You almost have to be energetic to reach for an opinion.
Yeah.
Because it comes up suddenly, you turn in, you make the turn, and now you are 2 seconds later and you're seeing the different factions. And it comes up so quickly, and you're asked to drop your opinion right away, but staying, resting, I guess you would say, or momentarily or whatever it is, it's so useful in that instant.
Well, I don't remember the specifics. I wish I could, because I'm sure it would be a funny story. But I remember when I was first practicing letting go of opinions, like an opinion would come up, and then I'd say, no, I really don't want opinion, I'd let it go. Literally, ego would offer the opposite opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, how about this? And it'd start, I could see, well, if you won't buy this, buy this. And that made it so funny, because I realized there wasn't even anything real in the opinions. The mind just wants me to take a side. The mind doesn't even care which side I'll take. If I will take the side of no guns, that's great. But if I'm willing to go, wait a minute, maybe we do need guns, because, you know, the criminals, they'll have guns. You know, if I'm willing to listen to that, well, then that's great too, because it doesn't care. It only wants me to pick a side. And that also made it easier to let go of opinions, because I came to see that not even my opinions were real. Because when I turned down the ones that were more natural to this personality, the other side rose up and tried to get me to bite on that side. So I thought, those aren't even real. You know, I'm not even the one that has that opinion. That's just the mind trying to keep me identified with something. With something. It doesn't care what I'm identified with, you know?
And it's easy to say, oh, you got a point there. Well, you got a point there. And you're just ping-ponging back and forth. And that happened to me so often that I was just thinking, well, you know, I gotta stand for something. I gotta come to some conclusion on this somehow or the other. And, you know, eventually it came to the point where there's no conclusion to it. All points are valid. I mean,
or invalid.
Yeah, or invalid. You can look at every single argument for every single thing, and you can agree with everybody's opinion because you got a point there. I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's not a single one of them that stands out and says, you know, this is the only way that I can think. And when I realized that, there's no only way that I can think. And this thing that came up just recently with this kid that turned over all these secrets that the NSA was doing on his spying and everything, I just sat there and laughed. I was like, I don't even know what to think about this. I have no thought about this.
Yeah, and there's people on both sides of that too, as well.
They're going crazy over it.
Yeah.
And even the people that would be saying, no, that shouldn't be, you shouldn't be doing that, are saying, yeah, but maybe you should be doing that.
Because maybe you'll catch something that we would miss otherwise. Right.
We wouldn't have been doing this. No, we'd be safer if you were doing this. And it's, right. And then you just got to laugh, because, you know, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, I have a thought, you know, okay, so here's the two sides, and here we are, you know, letting go of opinions, and we're, you know, not taking any of whatever. What happens next? By us letting go of opinions or helping the healing to begin and start rolling, eventually they'll start joining us. I'm just trying to see, what are those people where they always stay there and there's just a few here, or what? I guess I'm just trying to see.
Well, you know, if I was to tell you that I know the answer, I'd be lying. But what came to mind as you were speaking was a Bible scripture from Isaiah about the lion will lay down with the lamb and the little boy will, you know, lead, be the leader over them. So, you know, the symbol in that is that eventually, you know, all conflict will disappear, including the what appears to be the natural conflict between animals. But, you know, I don't know. And I think that's one of the best things for us to do on the spiritual path is to realize the difference between what we know and what we imagine. What we know is that it benefits us and everyone else if we let go of judgment. Whether the world will ever become the paradise earth that's described in Isaiah or not, I don't know. Either way, it's still better to let go of judgment. And you notice that for yourself. I mean, you've noticed that for yourself. I know you've let go. You don't judge as much as you used to, and you can tell it's better. It's better. It's just, that we know. So
we'll have more and more peaceful people, and I really honestly feel that it just attracts more, and we're getting more out of the line, you know, and eventually little by little it'll trickle. And then I'm thinking, well, will I be strong enough, as I'm thinking of all this, you know, and you see all this out here. But we already said that we feel better and it's our more natural state, and so that's where we want to be, and we will have the strength and whatever, because it is the more natural state to be, and love is.
Well, and what I do know, again, is I can see the effects, at least on the people in my immediate environment. I know that Ron and Jasmine and Danielle, and probably even Jamie, my dog, are all much better off living with a non-judgmental me, or a mostly non-judgmental, not perfect, but a mostly non-judgmental me. They would all be in a different psychological state if I was the judgmental person I used to be. So that's, you know, my little universe is my house, and you can see the effects right there. They're free to be them, right?
You know, I've seen people that have very strong opinions about one thing or another, and it seems like the stronger their opinion, the less happy they are, because it's not just that one opinion that they're so serious about. They you know, that creeps into their life in other ways. And when you can be weighed down by an opinion, your spirit, it can just cover your spirit over to where there's no lightness, no levity, no, you know, lightness of heart or anything like that. And when I've seen people that are influenced by the joy of somebody who lives life lightly.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, you can tell it doesn't make sense to them. They have these opinions and things they're hanging on to. They go, how can you be like that when there's so much to worry about? There's so much to get up in arms about, you know? And what they're saying is that they really aren't happy.
Right.
Or they'll say, I want to have
what Yes, right.
And it's because they're totally identified, or not totally identified, but they're predominantly identified with that that spirit of unhappiness, the ego. They're so predominantly identified with that that the whatever lightness is there seems like an attack. It's like, you know, you can't be happy. You know, I can't be happy. I feel guilty if I'm happy, and you know, I can't be happy because everything is so terrible. And as you move through dropping those opinions and those ideas about what you think is really happening, and start moving into a place where you're living more in loving and trusting, then those things do drop away, and you start identifying with that loving and trusting being, which is the natural being that you are. So it's a much, you know, there's a natural progression to it, but you gotta start somewhere. And I think letting go of judgment is the number one way of just starting that path.
You smell something? Somebody's getting high, I think. Who's getting high? Somebody around here. They're not judging anything right now.
It's Colorado.
That's right, we're in Colorado. It's legal. It's not far away.
It's coming in through all eight windows. Whoever it is really.
All right, let's see. We're almost done. Let's go ahead and finish this. Let's see. Okay, so starting with sentence 5 underneath verses 14 to 22. In surrendering to me, you surrender to yourself. In this realization, you are swept with peace and joy, for your true will is your true desire. And in its recognition, you find your gratitude to yourself. I love this next sentence. Pray then for your own end, right? Pray to your Father with willingness to let go of thy illusory self. It is nothing to you, and it keeps you from the realization of your truth. Do not fear the passing of this self you call home. It is not your home, and you do not belong there within your awareness. Your awareness belongs with me. I see your true self, and I am waiting here with you to share yourself with you. Blessings in your prayers for willingness. Do not take your prayers lightly. They are your energy, which feeds your strength. Through them, your truth shall be known. So again, as we pray, right, if we pray to let go of our opinions, for example, not from a sense of lack, because you can pray like, I'm not good enough, I'll never do it, you know, and that actually, that sense of prayer doesn't work as well. Praying just in a trust, in a turning over, in a surrender, in a willingness. I am willing to let go of my opinions. I pray that I will let go of my opinions. When you do that, something miraculous happens, and it eventually leads to that. I was talking to Tom one time. He was having what he perceived to be kind of an issue with pride, because great clarity was coming through him. And I think this is pretty typical. When clarity begins to really come through, ego perceives clarity as an attack. And so ego has to do something to defend itself against the clarity. And one common thing that ego does is it then makes you feel prideful about that clarity. And so Tom was experiencing this pride, and he asked me about it. And of course, you know, I've experienced it too. And I said, the only thing that I did, the only thing that I could do in that case was I prayed, please take the pride away. I'm not interested in the pride. Please take the pride away. And I said, at some point, it just wasn't there anymore. The clarity could still come. The clarity could be expressed, but then there wasn't this prideful feeling afterwards. It just ceased to exist through prayer. So, so prayer is one means of forgiveness. You know, as long as it doesn't come from some fearful, lacking place. It's just a true desire. You know, I really don't want this anymore. I don't want these opinions anymore. I don't want this pride anymore. I don't want this grievance anymore. You know, you just kind of turn it over through prayer, and it works miracles. So.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, that with that pride thing, ego has a tendency to make you ashamed of, judge yourself because of that.
So first you feel the pride, then you feel shame.
Then you feel shame, you're judging yourself because of it.
So it takes you from the wisdom, whatever you just spoke, into the pride, and then into the shame.
That's
so
right.
It just wrestles you right down the ground.
That's exactly, what else is ego going to do? Because again, to ego's perception, that clarity was an attack, right? It doesn't want you to stay in that clarity. It's got to bring you back in to ego somehow, back into the wrong mind. So, yeah. So what we always do is we always give an assignment just to help keep what we read fresh in our minds through the week. So tell me how you feel about this assignment. What if this week we simply notice our opinions and maybe even notice how our opinions make us feel? Notice if you're feeling, you know, a little uptight right now because you have an opinion, for example, that, you know, there shouldn't be guns, and somebody on the TV right now is talking about how there should be guns, and you're feeling a tightness in your chest because you disagree with that person, or vice versa. And just notice that your opinions really are a conflict right here in your own chest, and that that's exactly what they are. How's that sound for the assignment?
That's my opinion.
That's your opinion. That's a really good assignment. Thank you. All right, so let me go ahead and stop the recorder. And usually what we do at this point is